This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Resource Centre. We're talking about how compliance can boost your bottom line. We're here with Mohammad Rizwan Abdul Aziz, co-founder and CEO of RHT Compliance Solutions. So many financial solutions, licensed capital markets, entities and highly regulated industries in Malaysia and globally are striving to effectively manage compliance aspects, especially on regulatory requirements, internal policies and best practices. Notwithstanding its importance, compliance is generally seen as a reactive, unnecessary speed bump and adds no value to the profitability of the entity. So what is the commercial value of compliance? Rizwan here is going to try to convince me otherwise. Before that, though, you know, your company, RHT Compliance Solutions, a little bit about that company.
Sure. Thank you, Frida, for having us here today. I'm Rizwan, co-founder and CEO of RHT Compliance. So we started about 2.5 years ago in Singapore and Malaysia, together with my co-founder, Nizam Ismail. So what we have actually done is making sure that compliance is being seen as a practical, cost-effective function, as well as discovering that it actually adds value actually to the bottom line of a lot of enterprises, not just for profit-making or capital market functions or institution, but many other functions as well, including the NGOs and other entities.
Okay, so there's a whole lot of explanation that you have to do about what compliance is. Or people, when I hear the word compliance, I relate it to audit, and then I get, you know, goosebumps. So when you talk about how this can actually boost your bottom line or add value, how so?
Yeah. Thanks. That is a very, very good angle to start off with, because how we look at it, as mentioned, is it's about value. Okay. Say, for example, if you're talking about when you talk about value, it actually expanded the focus and the dynamics about compliance. Now, we are not just talking about complying with regulation, laws, guidelines and all those stuff, but now we are talking about value that is actually quite different between the spectrum of stakeholders. For example, that when we talk about one of the most important stakeholders, say, for example, a director of a company, in many legislation and laws, the function or the person that actually could go to jail is always the directors. You can look at any legislation in Malaysia or anywhere in the world, it's always the directors. So for the directors, one of the most important value is how do they make sure that they actually discharge their function effectively and they don't go to jail? So this is where the compliance officers appointed need to understand that for a director, one of the value is to make sure that they are well-informed and they are given relevant information for them to discharge their duty as a director.
Okay. What sort of clients do you have? Because it's not your usual suspects.
Oh, definitely. We do have the usual suspects. We do have the banks, the insurance company, fund managers, stockbrokers, and all those. But we do have increasingly those who are outside of that realm. We do have, say, for example, art dealing. Art dealing, as you know, is very opaque. The ecosystem is not really well defined. And then we talk about event management, sports management. And with the added dynamism of internet, you now have betting on sports being done online. You'll be surprised that even gaming could also be manipulated.
No, I'm not surprised. Okay, so now just give me an example of, in the case of art dealing, how does compliance come into play there?
Yeah, sure. That's very interesting, because we actually were participating in recently with a national art symposium. We were invited to actually speak about how anti-money laundering actually could help the stakeholders in the ecosystem of art dealing. So we spoke about how auction houses, gallery owners, even the artists, collectors, and how actually money launderers actually could actually manipulate this ecosystem. As you know, art dealing is very opaque. Yeah. So one of the concerns...
Opaque, why? Because you don't know who's buying it?
The valuation is not published. It's unlike stock market where you have a published and known information.
I see.
And it's very subjective in terms of how this piece of art actually being valued, because person A could say it's a high value, person B could say otherwise. So this is where willing dealer and willing buyer come into the play. This is where, if you equate this into the financial market, it works like an OTC market, over-the-counter markets. So when it comes to compliance, this is where harmonization of value could actually be added in terms of making sure that the subjectivity of art dealing could be reduced, and we can inject actually a lot of objectivity into it by, as a start, we could put in a lot of best practices. Yeah, we could put in a lot of best practices, because when we look at how anti-money laundering laws actually work, a lot of people who are dealing with arts actually are at risk. And as you know, a lot of corporations, especially their directors, like to collect arts. And high net worth individuals, they like to collect art. But the problem is, when they approach an artist or a gallery or even an auction houses, do they know actually who actually fund these galleries? Actually, when they get it from a private auction through auction houses, do they know the counterparty that actually sold the art to them? So they could be actually in cahoot in a money laundering scheme.
Unknowingly.
Yeah. So it's not that they're going to be found guilty or whatnot, but the process itself of being part of a money laundering investigation, it's really not something that you want to be with.
Okay. So what about in the case of, I'm just trying to wrap my head around this, events management or sports management?
Sure. You heard about what happened to FIFA.
Mm.
Yeah. And yeah, it is mind-boggling to know that we thought that people in Europe are better in terms of compliance. But this is, again, when we look at compliance from our perspective, we notice that one of the things that should be focused on is not just on regulation, it's not just how you comply, it's also ethics. So this is where ethics play a very, very big role. So you can have all the policies, but if ethical values between the person who is actually at the job with the ethical values of the organization that they are in, or the function, or the ecosystem they are in, doesn't jive, this is where it opens doors for corruption, it opens doors for bribery, it even opens doors for fraud. So this is what happened in terms of when you talk about event management. There's a lot at stake, actually. There's a very tight deadline that people need to actually look after. So this is where, by hook or by crook, they will actually try to complete what they need to do. And this is when they probably need to cross some line where they should not actually cross. So this is where, again, we could actually help in terms of looking at how to make things more practical, how to make things more objective, by actually adding into, looking into how ethical someone is, or how relevant and ethical values of certain entities are.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you mentioned banks as well, right?
Yeah.
Don't they have these people or individual experts in-house to help them when it comes to compliance?
They do. Definitely they have. It's a requirement either on capital market side by the SC as well as by Bank Negara. I'm not saying that people are not competent. I'm not saying that people are not good at what they do. But if we take a few steps back, okay, I don't think there's a specific degree or formal education for people to actually become a compliance officers. So what happened currently, as far as what we have seen, is there's a very big differences and diversity in terms of how compliance is being practiced, even in banks.
Okay, maybe you don't hear enough kids saying, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a compliance officer.
I hardly don't think people will say that.
Now, the other thing that, of course, you know, you talk about fintech and crowdfunding, which is a new source of funding coming in. We'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Mohamed Rizwan Abdul Aziz, co-founder and CEO of RHT Compliance Solutions. You're listening to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Bond frustrates Moneypenny. BFM. 89.9.
Good afternoon. It's Resource Centre. I'm Frida Liu. I'm here with Mohamed Rizwan Abdulaziz, co-founder and CEO of RHT Compliance Solutions. We're discussing how compliance can boost your bottom line. Whole new territory for me here. You know, and you were just saying as well with what you do with your edit company is that you put these measures in place also for industries like fintech and crowdfunding. How so?
Yeah, that is it's a very interesting aspect because, as we know, Malaysia just approved 6 equity crowdfunding platforms. And most of them are actually eager to start their business or go live either end of this year or early next year. So we have the privilege actually of working with one of them. And we actually have applied the concept of value-adding compliance with them, where we look at value in terms of how it is created, how it is distributed, and how it is sustained, as well as how it is being added continuously to the firm that actually we are working with. So when we talk about all these aspects in terms of values, as mentioned earlier, it is an enlarged stakeholders. Now you have the entity on its own, the directors, senior managers, employees, investors, customers, as well as regulators to look at. So when we talk about looking at the holistic approach of compliance in terms of adding value, you can't actually escape in terms of looking at 3 core elements, which is the person who is actually discharging the duty as a compliance person, the function itself, the compliance function itself, as well as the enablers. So as far as fintech and crowdfunding is concerned, they have the enablers, which is the technology, where they are using a lot of new innovation in terms of creating values, okay, distributing values, sustaining values, and adding values. So as far as enablers is concerned, they are already there. But in terms of the function itself, this is where we talk about 5 other elements, which is the governance of the firm, the risk that they are looking at, and then the ability to use the analytics and manipulate all the data that they gathered, as well as looking at how information being communicated and the corporate culture that they actually have within the organization. And again, as I mentioned earlier, ethics. Who's involved and how does it jive with the vision and mission of the organization?
Okay.
So this is where, when all these elements are in proper coordination and it's in line with the vision and mission of the organization, it is going to be, if I want to say, inevitable that a lot of things actually will fall in places, including the bottom line.
Okay.
Yeah. And once you get that, this is where your reputation will be enhanced. You will be seen like as a good citizen, a corporate citizen by the regulators because you put emphasis on compliance. Your investors, okay, your employees will be well informed because communication and sharing of information, there's a very good actually platform for them to know what's going on and everybody is well informed. Okay. So this is, again, when this is being approached in the holistic manner, then it requires the person who is discharging the duty as a compliance to be proactive. Okay, he or she needs to have a lot of knowledge, not only just about regulation, but also how value is being created in the entity. So the business processes, the policies, the vision of the company, as well as regulation, needs to be then coordinated again under this person.
Right.
Yeah.
And this person has this, a different kind of mindset, should have a different kind of mindset.
Of course, yes, right? Of course.
You know, as in, you are able to see an opportunity here.
Yes.
Okay. What's happening right now, though?
Okay. What's happening right now is, from what we have seen in the industry, is there's a lot of people who are now doing compliance function. They are actually a bit more reactive.
Mm-hmm.
They are waiting for questions to be asked to them. They look at things in terms of more silo. Because as you said earlier, it gives you that impression that they are something like an audit.
Yeah.
Okay. They are being seen like the policeman. Okay. I'm not saying that police is bad.
But guilty until proven innocent,
precisely,
as opposed to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So and then if you are able to sort of just tweak that, you'll be able to see the value of compliance.
Precisely. Precisely.
All right. So, very interesting. I think we'll need to have more conversations around this very exciting topic on how compliance can help boost your bottom line. I've been speaking to Mohammad Rizwan Abdul Aziz, co-founder and CEO of RHT Compliance Solutions. This is Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.